Hello, hello. As you may know, I am on a mini family holiday this week, so in lieu of a regular episode, we are playing this. A couple of months ago, I interviewed a real Facebook ad support rep, one of those people you are on the other end of a chat window with when things go south. This was not a Facebook-sanctioned interview, so we agreed to keep this person's identity confidential. However, we did independently confirm that he is who he says he is and does what he says he does. I thought this was an eye-opening look behind the magic curtain there, and I hope you enjoy it too. The next episode of this podcast will be Friday, when we will do an extended episode that will cover all the digital marketing news of this week. Well, thanks for doing this. I think it's, you know, we don't, digital marketers get a chance to kind of get, see how the sausage is made, as it were.
Yeah.
All right, so let's first talk a bit about what your role is at Facebook. So currently you are not actually in the ads team, but you spent some time there. Is that right?
Yeah, I've spent some time actually talking to people when they come on support. I was one of those people. But now I've moved to like more of an analyst role.
So you were one of those people who, when we digital marketers got like locked out of our ad account or you know, an ad campaign got denied and we got on chat, you were one of those people behind chat.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, so probably not you. You're in Canada.
So can we just like talk about the mechanics of that? Like, how many people do you think are doing that job there at Facebook?
Globally?
Yeah.
A lot. Probably, I would say just in like, because I'm in Europe, so I would say Europe probably has at least like 2,000-3,000 people.
Really? Wow. And are they then all sort
the US,
of like...
US probably has more. I'm not sure, but the US probably has more. And then there's also like Asia and like Australia and all of that stuff.
So are they grouped like that? Like people in North America will talk to a North American rep, people in Asia talk to an Asian rep?
Yeah, it's
like
grouped by regions, yeah.
I see, okay.
There is some overlap sometimes, depending on like how busy it is or what the time of day is, because there's like in most cases, there's no night support.
Right.
And there's nobody at night. So, but there's sometimes if like, I don't know, depending on different times when it's like projected that it's going to be very busy, they would leave it open, but they would shift it to a different region. So you like, if you contact support late in the evening, you might get someone from like, I don't know, Malaysia or somewhere.
Right.
And because it's their time of day when it's like working hours.
One of the things that you know, when COVID first came is we were all told you're going to get a lot more of a delay in reaching support because of COVID. What actually changed at that end? Like, did they reduce staff? Was there any real change at Facebook's, or was that just like a line that they gave to us?
It's more of a like a technical issue because like they had to move everybody home, so everyone's working from home. So it's like especially at the start, like first four months, it was a mess, and some of the teams were like cut off because of security issues. Some of them can't work from home because of like, it's like you just can't. It's like, this is way too important to be connected to your home Wi-Fi with this.
right. Even with a VPN, like it was that level.
Yeah, well, most of us use a VPN, but some of the stuff is like seriously like important. So
super
like,
confidential.
Yeah. So like, I guess like people that manage what the risk of that would be. Yeah. They had a lot of work.
Because they still say that, right? I mean, like in the forums, all the forums still say we're experiencing, you know, we don't have as many reps or things are a little slow still because of COVID. Like, is that still true?
It's probably because there's so many more like cases coming in of, I don't know. I mean, some teams are still affected. We also get like we work with different teams.
Yeah.
And some teams are still affected by that. There's like some teams have backlogs of different cases, different stuff, different issues. But okay. Some are okay. It all depends on like what the actual issue is.
Yeah. So here's sort of the process that we've certainly experienced at our end here at our agency. So we get an ad campaign denied automatically by the bots, of course. And then we file an appeal and we get to talk with one of you folks, support reps. And that rep says that they can't see anything really. They can't see why the ad was denied. They can't see what the previous enforcement, it's as if they don't have any insight at all. Can you give us the straight almost. Goods there? What do you actually get to see as a support rep and what don't you see?
There is a few things that can be seen, but no details. Like it wouldn't say at least for that support. It wouldn't say exactly, this part is violating or this specific thing is violating. No, it would say in general terms, in some cases, it would be even the things that you say, when on Ads Manager, it says disabled for this policy, and there's a link to the policy. In some cases, that would be the same for us. That's the only thing.
And you as a support rep cannot dive deeper to see what actually triggered it?
No, it's only the actual policy team has access to that. There are completely separate teams. We don't talk to each other. We can just send stuff to each other, cases. We can't actually talk.
Really? That's a that's a policy that you can't talk to the policy people?
Yeah. We can't talk to them, in common words. I don't know. We don't have really much details on it, but it's... We would suppose that's mostly because of influence, someone trying to influence the policy team of doing something that they're not supposed to be doing.
Right.
So I would suppose is that, but there is in some specific cases where we can talk to someone from there, but that those are special.
Pretty rare.
Yeah.
And then so if someone does say that they've got an ad campaign got denied, do you have the power if you look at it and it appears that the bot made a wrong decision, can you, a support person, reverse it and get the campaign going again?
No. How does that process work? The support. They have to pass it over to policy team.
So the policy people do that. Okay.
Yeah.
So, and then do you get any feedback from policy on why it was, or just nothing?
It depends. There's different processes. Sometimes, depending on also there is different tiers of support and stuff like that, depending on a bunch of different things. Sometimes it would just there's different ways of sending to different teams, depending on what the problem is with the ad. Sometimes it's just it's basically a system. You put the ad in, you send it off, just the ad, no text, no nothing. And it would just come up rejected or approved, and that's it. It's no details. Some of them would be it's mostly for larger companies with, I don't know, someone huge comes in for I don't know, Verizon or someone. And they have this issue and they have people in Facebook that work with them, and then they would list out this is it's these ads on this policy because of issues with this and this. But usually it's, even in those cases, it's not strictly this image in this part or this video in this or this word in this text. It's never that detailed with anybody.
Right. And you mentioned there's different tiers of support, tier one, tier two, that kind of thing.
Yeah.
I think I know the answer to this, but if someone is on chat and they're not getting a satisfactory answer and they see, can I talk to the next tier of support? Is that going to get them anywhere?
Nope. They don't only the first tier actually talk to people. None of the above tiers talk to clients.
Oh, I see. Okay. So there is no level that we advertisers can get beyond.
Yeah. Gotcha. The clients talk to level one, and then level one talks to level two. Level two can talk to level three. I can talk to someone that's fourth level of support.
I see. Okay.
It's only one level up, one level down. There's no skipping.
Where is policy physically located?
Well, there is different locations. I know there is definitely some in the US. And then there's also stuff around the world. I think Some of them are for Asia, some of them are in India. I think
there's some in Malaysia. They're all scattered as well.
Yeah, it's for different regions. Depends where they're like. I think there is like a really big site in the US. I don't know if I'm allowed to say where it is. Like where a bunch of different American teams are. But mostly for the North America stuff is in the US. And then for other regions is in those regions.
Well, listeners to the podcast have been sending in a small handful of questions. Are you you want to start hitting those now?
Yeah, sure.
All right. Here's the first one that came in. Do representatives mark notes or have notes for certain ad accounts or Facebook accounts that inquire? So I guess they're saying that, like, is there a record based on the advertiser of, like, you know, like, this person is a pain in the ass, or they're always asking?
No, there isn't.
So can you, if an advertiser gets to you, because through a chat support, do you have any history of their past dealings with respect to enforcement?
We could find their, like, cases from before, but, like, we usually don't.
But there's no notes, like, notes section?
No, there is no notes. No. Okay.
Question number two. Do the internal teams at Facebook... Oh, God. I haven't read half of these, by the way, so some of these are as new to me as they are to you. Do the internal teams at Facebook understand just how consistently broken the entire platform is?
Well, depends how internal. We do.
But the ad reps do.
Yes, it's very broken sometimes, even for us.
And then they say, is the lack of stable solutions a result of the understanding that business will still use it regardless? Or are there teams really trying to improve the back-end user interface?
There's so many different teams that work on so many different things. It's like I wouldn't even know where to look, because there's, like, it's insane how many teams there is in Facebook, like, and they are all separate and they all do that their different things, and there's, like,
I think what they're really asking here is, does Facebook, do you get the sense that, like, the culture of Facebook is that, well, the ad platform is broken, but we're making enough money off of it that it's not a priority to, like, really tweak and do good things with it? Or is it that, no, actually, Facebook is, like, desperately trying to improve the ad interface, we're just not really seeing that yet?
Yeah, well, there is both. Yeah, there is, like, oh, we're just changing something to change something. I don't know. Innovation without purpose.
Yeah.
But sometimes there is, like, well, sometimes it's a lot of changes, a lot of, like, for legal reasons, especially lately.
Yeah.
It's like, we don't want to remove this, but these guys said we have to.
But there's no, like, I'm not hearing you sort of say any sort of significant push on, you know, we keep hearing from our advertisers, like the small advertisers.
That would be like product design. We don't really have any contact with them. So I wouldn't really know anyone from, like, that is there.
Okay.
Those guys are probably somewhere in, like, California or somewhere.
Question number three. When asking for your account to get unbanned, should I write a whole text about why I might be banned? Or does the Facebook worker see that, get annoyed, and keeps me banned? Wow, this person's had some rough times.
Oh, yeah. Well, like, for the support that's on chat or that, like...
I think they're asking about the forms here. I think they're asking about the forms. Like, do you guys handle the forms as well?
No, it's separated. If you just go on appeal form and you just send it off.
And where does that go to? Like, a forms people, or does that go directly to policy, or where do the forms go?
If it's like a self-appeal form for, I don't know, ad account is disabled and you go into the ad account and says appeal and you click appeal and you fill out the details, that should go directly to policy.
Oh, it does. Okay. All right.
Yeah. That should go directly to policy. But then if they come on chat, like, whatever they write there basically is, like, it's not that it doesn't matter. It's that's like that the person that they're talking to can't do anything. They still have to send it to policy.
Right. So, like, Does policy read the text, do you think, on those forms? Like if someone types in a really detailed explanation about why they feel it shouldn't be banned, do you think the policy is reading that, or are they is it just a numbers thing?
I guess that would really depend on the person that's there. It's like, because I haven't worked in those teams, or yeah. Don't know anyone that does there, but it's probably like, as every team, they have like their own KPIs and their own like how much time can they spend on something. And if it's an email with like, oh my God, I'm going to spend like 10 minutes reading this. Mm. It's like if they're in like, sometimes that like, oh, I have like, I don't know, 3 minutes to finish this, but it takes 10 to read.
Yeah, I got it.
Yeah.
So what would be your advice then in terms of what people write in that form when they're doing an appeal?
Short, precise.
All right.
And like, if someone reads it, definitely polite. It's like, I don't know if people, but I don't know. It's like, definitely you don't want to be rude to someone that is deciding on your account.
No, you're not wrong. All right, question number 4, and I don't know that you can answer this one, to be honest, but I'm going to read every single question that we got. We are at 4 of 10. Why are we seeing such performance drops recently? CPA is skyrocketing for many small businesses. I don't know that that's something you can answer, really.
Yeah, not really. There's so many different things, so like... Because I get that. I've seen that a lot. Those like, oh, clients come on is like, oh, I've seen that. I don't know. CPM is so much higher now. It's like for your account, for everybody, for region, for which day, for each month. It all depends. It's like a billion different factors. It's for everybody that I know. But how many people do you know?
Do you get that in chat? Do people start up chat requests and ask you why it's so expensive?
Yeah, really? They do. Yeah.
And is there like a stock like answer to that?
Yeah, we can't really know like why. It's like, it's the auction.
It's an auction, yeah. I mean, that is the real auction. Answer. Yeah.
Yeah,
that's the real answer.
I've had people on like Black Friday, like,
why is it so competitive out there?
2 weeks before Black Friday. Oh my God, my price tripled. Like, really? Did it really?
Maybe you should stay the F away from Black Friday, dude.
Yes. It's like,
all right,
come on.
Question number 5. Google is an excellent example of a company that makes a telephone number available where reps can assist after asking a few questions about your specific issue. Why doesn't Facebook include this?
Because customers are insane on the phone. I actually know a few people that do that in Google, and it's hell. It is hell. Receiving calls, as much as I've heard from a few people that I know that do that, it's insane how people can be horrible on that phone.
Yeah.
It's like, I don't know. But it definitely wouldn't. I don't think it would help at all, because all the reps would just be busy like listening to people complain about stuff they can't change.
Yeah, yeah. So, the answers wouldn't be any different. It's still going to be
the same answer. Yeah. It's just going to be longer, and someone's going to have to listen to you yell at him.
Oh, yeah, exactly. I just thought of one. How many chat sessions do you have open at a time? Are you just talking to one person at a time? Do you have like 5 conversations on your screen?
It's either one or two, depends.
Okay, so it's not terrible.
One or two.
Okay, right.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Here's the same person says, Facebook chat support is tedious. The email feedback often leaves out details. Often small issues could be resolved faster with the benefit of blah, blah, blah. So this is about the phone still. Is phone support in the plans for Facebook to include specifically for verified agencies or businesses spending thousands in ad revenue?
No idea.
And I think that answer is no, really. I mean, if you're not.
Probably right. Not, but I would, yeah. I wouldn't think it would be, but I have no idea.
Question number 7 of 10. Talking about detail targeting, is there a maximum number of interests that might be too much for the system? Like, can you overload interests, I guess, in an ad set? Can you have too many?
I wouldn't think it's like the amount of interests would even matter. Is it one or is it 35 or is it 150? It's probably the amount of people that are in those interests. It's like, do you want a bigger audience? Yeah.
Yeah.
I've actually like was looking today at someone was like just complaining at some case that I was reviewing. It's like, oh my God, it's like there's like, I don't know, 20,000 people have seen my ad and nobody purchased. And the audience is 2.7 billion people.
Yeah.
Literally the whole world. It's like, why are you targeting the whole world?
Speaking of targeting, I'm outside the US and English is not the language of the country where I'm running ads. But I have found some professions and interests in the detailed targeting section that are in English. For example, cardiologist or mental health consultant. Are these for English-speaking countries, or is it okay to assume that they apply to the same profession or interests in the language and country that I'm in, which is Mexico/Spanish?
Yeah. They would be, all of them would be in English. Like, all the interests are, like, is, I don't know, what people that are interested in, I don't know, people that are doctors.
I think they're saying that like if, it would be, yeah. If they target mental health consultant, and it shows up in English, of course. Is the platform also going to target mental health professionals who are in Mexico and speak Spanish?
Yeah, probably. Yeah, I believe so. Yeah,
I would think so. It'd be a pretty big system.
Yeah. Also, if they like people interested in, I don't know, bowling, it wouldn't be just people that have bowling in English.
Yeah,
it would be whatever it's called in their language.
Yeah. All right, here's one for you. How much do you get paid?
Haha. Not enough.
That I believe.
Yeah, but I wouldn't want to go in there. Yeah.
Okay. All right. Would you let me just push gently a tiny bit further on that? Would you say that your salary is on par with other support roles in, say, cell phone companies? Cable television, do you think it's generally higher salary, lower? Like, where would you put yourself?
It depends. It's also based on a lot of like what country it is, then what's like what company it is, because like Facebook also works with like a bunch of different like contractor companies.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
So it depends like on that company also, not just on Facebook. It's like Facebook pays them a sum of money for like, I don't know, 500 people that they employ on behalf of Facebook, and then it's that company's like thing of how much are they're gonna pay their people.
Gotcha.
So it's not always Facebook decision or something.
Why are so many accounts getting closed down for obviously wrong reasons, and why are they so hard to open up again?
I love those obviously wrong reasons.
To be fair, there are some cases where it is obviously wrong, you know, where the bot has made a decision. You know, I'm going to take this questioner's side on this one. Like, there are cases when, not a few cases, where genuinely the system's made a mistake, and it's really hard to get that back.
Yeah, well, there is a lot of, like, all of those are basically reviewed by the system. Like, nobody's sitting there reviewing ad accounts all day, unless it's an appeal. Like, because it would be insane for even expect that, like, people would review billions of ads a day.
Yeah. But why do you think it's so hard for those, like even if people appeal them, to find out why it's, you know, why they got denied and to get that account back?
Well, it depends why it was disabled. It's like, it all depends. Like, if There is all kinds of different policies, like how on based on what it gets disabled. It's not even only just ad policy, even though it's an ad account, so it would be kind of logical. But there is other policies that affect. It can be related to like the user or the page or the. It's like you can get I don't know. For example, like if a user gets disabled, and he's the only admin on an ad account, the ad account's gonna get disabled. Or if there's like I think most of the social media companies call that like they consider it a bad actor. So it's like a profile or a person that is like ingenuine, as they would call it. That brings the risk higher that any related ad account or a business manager or a page would be disabled. So it might not even be anything on the ad account itself that's getting it disabled. It could be like related to something else.
Will you concede though that there are instances?
And I think there's definitely mistakes in some places. Yeah,
right.
Sometimes it is impossible to get that approved unless someone actually like it gets to someone who's actually gonna look at it in detail. But in some cases, it's not even possible to get it there. Especially if it's a small business or something.
Yeah. So let's say that someone has an ad campaign or ad account, whatever, denied. They appeal it. So it goes to the people in policy. Someone in policy is very busy that day or didn't like the way the appeal was written or something and denies it. Is there, once that denial happens from policy, is there any way to get policy to look at it again? Kind of like wait a minute, this person, like, please look at this again. Like an appeal of the appeal, I guess, is what I'm asking.
Yeah, I think it's a three appeal limit on most things. So you can appeal three times for almost.
And do they go to different people each time?
Yeah, it goes to like different people. It wouldn't go to the same person.
And does it go to a higher level person each time or like tier level?
Probably not.
Okay.
I don't know.
So
not sure about how.
So it would go to three different people at policy that have basically the same job.
Most probably, if it's the same thing, like if it's the same ad, but it's just appealed again, probably would go to like the same team, just whoever is like assigned to there. I don't think it would go to the same person.
Yeah. Do you think that if on the third appeal, the person who's reviewing the third appeal, does that file carry with it the notes of the previous two appeals? Like, are they able to say, this got denied, we rejected appeal one, we rejected appeal two. Does appeal person number three get access to that history?
I don't know. Because I don't have any access to like the policy process and how their system looks like or what they see.
Okay. And fair enough. And you know, as we mentioned at the beginning, you did not work in policy. So
no.
And that's completely all right. How can companies with specific demographics properly target their audience without violating anti-discriminatory policies? Oh, well, there's a special category for that.
And if it's in a special category, they just need to select the category, I guess.
Yeah, well, a specific target I think that's what they're asking. Yeah, maybe they just aren't aware of that. The last question. We've often noticed that when using the conversion objective for higher price items, our CPM will often be ridiculous compared to campaigns with a lower CPL. I'm not sure why they're saying cost per lead here. Sometimes over $50 CPM for an ad set that has no targeting besides the United States since the iOS update. What gives?
Why would it have no targeting unless these that's like 300 million people for a conversion campaign. Why?
Hang on. Yeah, that doesn't make any sense. That can't be what they mean. Hang on a second. We've often noticed that when using the conversion objective for our higher price items, our CPM will often be ridiculous compared to campaigns with a lower, and they're saying CPL here, sometimes over a $50 CPM for an ad set that has no targeting besides the United States. That's what they mean. I think they mean everyone in the United States. So I guess they're saying, why, if it's such a broad audience, is the CPM high? Like, generally, if you're targeting broad, the CPM stays fairly low.
But also, I believe that maybe they think that, like, oh, if there's a difference in CPM, if you're selling stuff that's, I don't know, $10, and if it's like $150. So I guess
it's the auction, right? I mean, that's the...
Yeah. Well, I guess for the system, it's easier to find someone who's going to buy something for $10 than someone who's going to buy something for $100.
True. True.
Yeah.
So those were the questions. And I want to thank everyone who sent in the questions. Let me ask you now, do you have anything that you would like to share with the digital marketing community? Is there anything, like, if you had, when you were in that role, a big bullhorn that you could just tell everybody? Something in our world, what would it be?
One thing that annoys me every day, constantly, almost like every case that I see, that people can't show what their issue is. They're so incapable of coming on chat and like, can I get a screenshot of this? And they send me like a screenshot that's like 5 inches by 5 inches of just the error. It's like, come on.
Wait a minute. You wanted a screenshot of the ad?
It's like, for example, I'm getting this and this error when I try to do this. It's like, okay, can you get me a screenshot of like where that is? Like the screen there. And they send me a screenshot that literally just says, something went wrong, please try again. It's like, seriously. Yeah. Or people that... this is just my own pet peeve, but people that don't know how to do screenshots, or I've seen so many like agencies that spend millions of dollars and have people that don't know how to take a screenshot of the screen, and they take their phone and they take a picture of their screen. It's like, seriously. Oh, that's not even the worst one. The worst one I've seen is a person. Not only did they not open the camera and take a picture with their phone, they've opened Instagram, went into the camera on Instagram app.
What?
Wait, this is not even the worst part. So they went into the Instagram on the Instagram app. And you know it's Instagram because it has all the filters on the bottom.
Yes. And you have to launch the app.
Yes, you have to launch the app. And then to make it even worse, while they have it open, like the camera is open on Instagram, they've screenshotted their phone screen.
Okay, wait a minute.
Hey, so let me see how complicated this is.
All right, so to get you a screenshot, they launched Instagram, they held their phone up to their desktop or laptop.
Yeah.
So that they were looking now through the Instagram camera, and they screenshotted the mobile app of that.
Yes. Yes.
Wow.
You know how ridiculous that
is. How old was this person? Do you know?
I would say under 40, definitely.
What?
Definitely under 40.
You told me a story a month ago of a big agency that had told all of their staff to create gray accounts. Do you remember that?
Yeah, that was fun.
Can you tell that story again of what happened and everything? Like this is one of those word to the wise stories.
Like agencies, some of them, they I don't know who makes those, probably their bosses that don't actually work on any of those things. So they made their own internal policy, like just for the agency. That's now their rule, that all of the employees that they have must create separate Facebook accounts. And then...
Separate personal accounts.
Yeah, separate personal profiles.
So that they have two personal accounts now.
Yeah, so they have two personal profiles.
How big was this agency? How many staff people did they have?
I think just they have like multiple business managers for like different regions and different countries. They're really like global company.
So like hundreds and hundreds.
Yeah, so just in that one where they had the issue, probably over 200 people.
Okay, so they told them to all create second personal profiles.
Yes, like second personal profile, and then get, like, they would only be working on that profile. They can't use, like, they should not use it for anything else, only for work, and they should never use their actual personal profiles. And then logically, because the system recognizes that you have like two profiles and you have the same name, and also most of the other ones, they have like no profile picture, no cover picture, no nothing, no posts, no nothing,
I expect
no
it's
friends.
Pretty easy for the algorithm to figure
like,
those
no
out.
No friends, no nothing.
Yeah.
And they're suddenly added into like high level agency account. Imagine how, like, I guess the system that detects hacking was like overloaded.
God. So what happened to them? What happened to, like, what enforcement?
The business manager and everything got locked out for like obviously suspicious activity. So everything.
And that happened automatically, or was there someone that was like, no?
I think it gets automatically when the system detects like hacking attempt.
It is shocking to me how many we've run into this. We do things right. I would like to think right. You have actually been inside our agency's business manager, so you would know.
I don't remember where I looked, but I can.
You've probably seen a million of them. But we deal with, you know, other agency partners, and there was one client in particular that had another agency partner that was handling their Facebook ads, and they were running. So we came on board. We were going to do engagement and moderation, which is our bread and butter. And so to do that, we needed access to the Facebook assets. So peculiarly, their ad agency owned the ad account, which in itself is wrong, but whatever, it happens, right? So we had to ask the other ad agency to make us a partner. And that ad agency replied and said, we can't make you a partner on this account. And I said, yes, you can. If you're the owner of the ad account, which you are, just add my agency, here's our business ID, as a partner.
Yeah.
Well, we can't do that. So do you know why they couldn't do it?
Why?
Because, and again, this was a big agency. This was a big agency, hundreds of employees. People in the industry would know the name of this industry, of this agency.
Yeah.
They were running all of their clients' ads out of one ad account, okay, which is against Facebook policy. All of them out of, and it gets worse. Not only were they running it out of all of their clients out of a single ad account, the reason they couldn't add us as a partner was because that ad account was actually the personal ad account of an employee that hasn't worked there in 2 years.
That's just insane.
That's a big agency. Like, how do they? It's unbelievable to me.
Yeah. The other thing that I really get annoyed because, like, especially with, like, when it's agencies, when you, like, and they don't own stuff, like, some of you, they don't own stuff, and they, like, some of the things they should not own. But then, like, I don't know, you tell them, like, oh, it's like, you don't own this asset. You have to, like, contact your client and tell them to change this and this because they are the admin. You just have, like, agency access, and they should, like, go in here, change this, give you access to this, and they don't want to do it. It's like they're afraid to ask clients for anything, like anything. It's like, oh, like they're going to think we don't know what we're doing. Well, you don't know what you're doing.
Yeah. You like your job? Yeah.
Well, it gets annoying sometimes, but I mean, it's all right.
Hey there! Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.